But I've always found religion to be fascinating. Ideas such as how people act on their beliefs. Pro-lifers murdering doctors.
Pro-lifers murdering people.
it's irony on the base level, but I like it. You know what I mean? It's real basic irony, but still, you can get a hoot. It's a hoot. It's a f***ing hoot. You're pro-life, it will kill your ass. That's what fundamentalism breeds, though. No irony, you see. They take the word literally, you know. Fundamentalist, yeah. Well, once again, I recommend a healthy dose of psilocybin mushrooms. 3 weeks ago, two of my friends and I went to a ranch in Fredericksburg, Texas, and took what Terrence McKenna calls a heroic dose. 5 dried grams. Let me tell you, our third eye was squeegeed quite cleanly. Wow! And I'm glad they're against the law. Because you know what happened when I took them? I laid in a field of green grass for 4 hours going, my God, I love everything. The heavens parted, God looked down and rained gifts of forgiveness onto my being, healing me on every level, psychically, physically, emotionally. And I realized our true nature is spirit, not body, that we are eternal beings, and God's love is unconditional, and there's nothing we can ever do to change that. It is only our illusion that we are separate from God or that we are alone. In fact, the reality is we are one with God and He loves us. Now, if that isn't a hazard to this country, you see my point. How are we going to keep building nuclear weapons? You know what I mean? What's going to happen to the arms industry when we realize we're all one? It's going to the economy. The economy that's fake anyway. Which would be a real bummer, you know. You can see why the government's cracking down on the idea of experiencing unconditional love. It's interesting. Isn't it interesting that 2 drugs that are legal, alcohol and cigarettes, 2 drugs that do absolutely nothing for you whatsoever, and drugs that grow naturally upon this planet, drugs that open your eyes up to make you realize how you're being every day of your life, those drugs are against the law. Wow. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm sure their motives are pure. But, isn't that great? Mushrooms grow on cow turds. I love that. I think that's why you giggle the first hour. It's growing cow turds! Heaven is in a cow's butt! I know where heaven is. Where? In a cow's butt! Lift me up out of this illusion, Lord. Heal my perception that I may know only reality and only you. Stuff like that.
I took mushrooms and went to Astro World, and I had a really bad time.
You're a moron. They are sacred. Go to nature. It's to be on the black dragon tripping. I would puke in, man, about 50 yards with each hurdle of the black dragon. Possessed dragon.
Hi, and welcome to Cognitive Liberty Airwaves, practicing good living through chemistry. We have a guest today, John.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I took a rain check from you last semester, I believe.
I know. It's been a long semester since.
It has been. So how was England?
England was fun. It was fun.
Did you have fun? I didn't have fun.
Yeah, actually, it was funny because we walked into a random shop on Camden High Street and bought mushrooms legally.
Are you kidding? I did. Was on the right as you're facing the bridge? That's
what actually, we walked into one of the bazaars and found this place called the Dream Temple. And there's all these like crazy hippies and like South Americans and whatnot. And
you know, when I was there, you learn new things when you break up with girlfriends, don't you?
I'm sad to hear about that.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. Anyway, we were walking on Camden High Street, and I always saw magic mushroom tea. I was like, what a ripoff for the teenagers, you know? And then I realized that Tony Blair hadn't made mushrooms illegal. I mean, fresh ones.
Not rhetorically, right?
Right. And right on Camden High Street, you don't even have to go into a thing. Like, if you're there late at night, there's... You know,
hundreds of stands outside these like junk shops and touristy spots.
Yeah, one that sells like, you know, typical Camden attire. You walk in there and they have them fresh and then they have the kits. So I was like, yes, please. Like, I mean, how nice, like,
you know,
as you're going for a walk.
At the same time, it's really problematic, I think, because like these people are selling like mind expansion like it's gum, you know, and it's there's a lot of things people got to think about.
But but it's not really there. At least I think they're doing a good service, like dispensing it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's like, because then it's just like another
it's better to
kind
have
of
some
like
than
FCC.
None.
Yeah, I mean, and then you
like,
should be
I, the place I got at the Dream Temple, I was talking to the guy that worked there. He's a DJ. He had these chill sessions on Sunday, whatever, played some really nice beats and whatnot. But before he sold them, he would have this conversation, you know, and he wouldn't show you where they are or anything. He said, you know, there's a Mexican strand and there's a Colombian strand and this and that, you know. But if you said, can I get some, he'd just start asking you other questions, you know, kind of like digress. So I felt like that was a better experience because you're going through something to get it. And it's more worth it in the long run.
Oh, you mean, the hunt, as we're going to talk about with, like, the ayahuasca.
Right.
Okay, so what, it's like human obstacles instead.
Right, I mean, not just human as well. I mean, the whole environment itself, where you find yourself. I mean, you're either a tourist there, and you're just doing shopping and getting ripped off, and the locals know it, but they don't tell you, you know, and then you go and get some mushrooms, and the guy says, okay, this guy's cool, give it to him, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. But, you know, ultimately, what really does matter to me is just who you are, what you're going in there as. And if you're not just some tourist who's there to do some shopping and trip balls and have a good time, whatever, or if you're actually there to learn something, you know, then it's more worth it. And that's what these people are looking for at the place I call the Dream Temple.
Well, I mean, for me, like, I mean, I do have I respect the psychedelics, natural psychedelics a lot. And I mean, that was the only place I could get it. I couldn't grow it in time while I was there. And, like, I don't care how I got it. I got it, and I took it home. And I, you know, and waited for my friends to come. And we, like, you know, we have our little ways. Yeah, you know, you have your little traditions and... You know, and then you kind of, well, I don't know.
But you see, like, that already makes you stand out from the random crowd, you know, like going to a rave and buying a drug and just getting fucked off me, extra. But, you know, you have your own rituals. I think that's what, you know, makes you stand out from the other crowd. That's really where it is, you know. It's you're going through something with your friends. You're coming together on the same page. And once you're there, then you're going through the experience. So there's a certain level of understanding before you go into the understanding that you're going to gain. And I think that's what makes the huge difference.
Well, yeah, I guess you're coming at it probably because, you know, you're in America, for one, and you're on a college campus, and you've been here for ages, right, John? And you're probably, like, sick and tired of kids taking stuff to get messed up, man, right?
And it's not just America on the campus either. It's everywhere in the world.
Well, I'm just saying, like, here, like, it's just in your face right now. Sure. But I don't know. I don't know. You're more, like... part of the college community, I think, than I am, and
I would just like to say this program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive if the views expressed are those of the engineer and their guests and may not reflect the views of the management or other WHRW station members. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Thank you.
Let me just say that the FCC sucks. Thank you. So. And Marty Kaplan, if everybody knows him, he has a good article in Sunday's LA Times about that. that the FCC sucks, and it's like a political STD, and anyway.
Well, I guess then you could also be said if we all ate mushrooms, we wouldn't have this problem in the first place.
Right, right, but then, yeah.
Why is that? Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, that's. It's, I was just trying to be funny. but ultimately, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody, like I'm saying, but if we could all get on the same page, if we could establish some discourse that transcends just spoken word, if we tap into the language that is color, that is sound, that is body language, all these things, it doesn't matter what we're saying to each other, if we're trying to prove something or not, which we shouldn't trying to be doing any in the first place. It's if somebody says something that's honest to themselves and the others, your interpretation of that is important to what you're trying to get to as an end. That interpretation supports your view or doesn't support it, either way. But the mushroom, the psychedelic, the psychoactive awareness itself brings that understanding that nobody's right or wrong. It's an irrelevant question. The point is to maintain discourse that's healthy, that helps everybody, that, you know, reaches you to a certain level and makes you change your mind or think about something a different way.
Yeah. That brings up very interesting things. Like, I'm taking a lot of biology classes this semester, and, like, evolution with David Sloan Wilson. And I've just talked about, we're talking about altruism and selfish genes and like just the nature of life, really. And I find it sometimes very difficult to, because like what's like these mathematical models that map these, like, they don't, there's no rhyme or reason to natural selection. It's just happening. And I sometimes find it difficult to
believe that there isn't a pattern there.
To integrate my experiences that I've had on say natural psychedelics. Like, I wanted to talk with you about Terence McKenna and right. Like these hyper dimensions maybe that exist or right. that don't, and how that is relevant to like our biological evolution, or if our biological evolution and like, you know, this, our physical experience and all, like my hands getting sweaty or, you know, my knuckle like, are they related? I mean, do you know what I mean?
Well,
it's really
kind of
difficult
funny.
Question.
The intro to this show earlier was the Bill Hicks rant. And what he's saying there, I think that's it. You know, that it's spirit over body, you know. I have a lot of mixed views on it. I mean, I'm still an undergrad. I'm barely graduating this semester and whatnot. But I have come to an understanding that, you know, dualism doesn't really work. I mean, it's not just mind and body. I think there's a third party there called spirit, which transcends both, which allows them to coexist.
That was a question that I was discussing with Amanda previously. Was, you know, the question is this simply an experience that's understandable from a purely physiological? Is it just neurons and certain electrical patterns in the brain, chemistry, you know, receptors and blockers, and or, you know, are these natural plants, these hallucinogenic psychedelic plants, do they actually open windows and doors to something real, some hyperdimensional, some, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the huge thing right there. I mean, it would take us hours to go over all the material here. I mean, to put it in a nutshell, it's really dangerous. But I mean,
dangerous,
I think,
to whom?
Well, dangerous to anybody who wants to learn something about this. Because what we're saying, I mean, we all have a certain understanding of what we're talking about. So when we use certain terminology like transcendence, spirit, this, that, we kind of know what we're referring to. We're on the same page. But some external party that's listening to this might say, "What are these guys, excuse my French, talking about?" You know, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible mistake to make. You know, just to assume that everybody's going to understand where you are. And but yeah, I mean, I personally agree with McKenna. I think the mushroom is a sentient being. I think it's an entity that transcends physics. I mean, it's every time you have, for example, a tryptamine flash where you have an out-of-body experience and you connect to the overmind, you realize that that overmind is the sum, the totality of everything we're experiencing right now, mentally, physically.
When you say we, you mean the human species, or maybe all animal spirits?
Well, sure, definitely. I mean,
the collective, could that be Jung's collective consciousness?
Definitely, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's all one.
How about, we were talking, I don't know, two shows ago about mushrooms, how they're the most karma-free beings on this planet because they eat dead matter, and...
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
McKenna
said,
like,
something funny about that, actually, really quick. He's talking about his conversation he had with a mushroom. And he says, you know, so why do you come to Earth? And the mushroom goes, well, you know, when you're a mushroom, you got to live cheap. And let me tell you, this neighborhood was great until the monkeys started acting up.
Yeah, I mean, mushrooms and plant teachers can do a lot for...
You mean shamans or...?
No, like... the plants
as teachers.
Yeah. They can do a lot. Like, I mean, I've personally been helped with, like, personal problems. I mean, not directly. It's not like I took something, I sat down, and some, like, you know, some mushroom in the shape of a, you know, a psychologist came over and, like, said, let's... No, it, I don't know. Maybe it, like, worked itself out in time. But I don't know. It puts things in perspective. But this is a problem for me. I love the psychedelic experiences. I think it's really important, but I don't know if this is like very postmodern, John. You're the expert here, but I just think are we all just biology? Is this just like, you know, this is us? Like, I mean, it's just like, is this insignificant? Are we insignificant? Like humans, we're just an organism. We're going to die out, right?
The response to that is also a response to your question earlier. About is it showing us another level of being, or is it opening our doors to some hyperdimensional reality? I think so, yes. I think the mushroom is trying to show us what it's perceiving besides its perception of us.
So if we die, like, say, like, physically, like, can we exist elsewhere?
Oh, I'd like to think so. I don't...
In these hyper dimensions. I mean, that's what I think everybody... Even, like, you know, our professors, the biology professors, come on, that's what everybody wants to know.
Well, that's the mind hump, isn't it? Mm. I mean, right there, it's... I would love to believe that there's more, you know, and I do believe there's more.
Well, that's the real magic about if you can... Imagine this hyperdimensional reality, and what that means is, you know, more dimensions besides just three. If anybody's read Flatland, that's kind of like what we're talking about. Flatland is a two-dimensional reality. What do three-dimensional objects look like in Flatland? Well, they look really messed up,
right?
To the Flatlanders,
like Picasso, right?
Right. So what, you know, if there are more dimensions than the three that we're able to perceive, maybe it's really complex and strange and something that our present scientific description can't really get a handle on.
Well, that's where it snaps. I mean, those are the limits of conception and cognition and expression and iteration. I mean,
exactly.
It's where dialethism comes into play. The problem is this. We can fathom a fifth dimension. We can fathom the end of the Mayan calendar. And
I think there's 12. It's, you know, infinite.
But it still, I think, becomes irrelevant in the way we're trying to fathom it.
Yeah.
Because... the second we step through this fifth dimension, the numbers 1 through 5 cease to exist. The way we think ceases to exist. The way this physical universe functions ceases to exist. We're dealing with new rules, and we can't fathom that technically. We can conceive of it and say, yeah, there's something like that there, you know, and we look forward to it. But I don't think we can put a finger on something and say, this is what's going to happen, you know.
Right.
And that mystery is what's so human about it, in a sense. We just
right.
never know.
And I mean, when a child is born, I mean, you know, they're racing to, you know, attribute all these things to certain genes, human genetics, and I just think that, you know, they have those cave paintings, say, back like 30,000 years ago or something, where any human depicted has a huge, like, halo around their head, and that doesn't mean they're space, you know, they're outer space beings or whatever, aliens.
Or that they're spiritual prophets or something.
Right,
either.
I mean, maybe people, like, you know... like, we are such victims of our society, and like we just all develop strategy sets to, like, you know, reproduce and get through life, and like
comfort and complacency,
right? And like seeing auras right now in this, like, day and age, like, would freak the crap out of people.
And you know, I've seen instances where we trivialize that as well. You go to some summer resort in the coast of Turkey, and some guy's there with some photography machinery equipment whatnot. He says, I'm going to take a picture of your aura.
What, Cartelian photography,
whatever it is. Yeah. And it's so trivialized. It's just like, hey, there's my aura, it's green. Oh, hey,
yeah.
It's red. It's like, what does that mean?
Like, and I mean, and besides, like, to even, like, you know, attribute moods or something to colors now,
right.
Would just, it's meaningless anyway. It's lost if we've lost the
right.
whole.
And I think we were talking about this previously. I'm not sure if it was on the air or off, but we were talking about how this society does not revere the shaman. This society, you know, there are some societies that
we
do.
We call them schizophrenics.
That's
and we give them, like, we highly medicate.
We make them wards of the state, and we force medications upon them to change them, to bring them within the plus or minus 3 standard deviations of normalcy, right? But, you know, in India, for example, you know, they have these, you know, the Brahmins, these wandering beggars that are like of a spiritual caste, and people, they give them alms, you know, and they think that their spirit is benefited by, but, you know, here, exactly, if you get somebody that's like speaking to other worlds or other spirits or things like that, what do? We'd lock them up. We'd give them drugs, right. Make them wards of the state.
Well, the thing with the guru and the shaman, like I would advocate Terrence McKenna on the way that we do need a professional class of shamanism in society today. I mean, the more medication we take, the more we screw ourselves up. You know, that's a fact. But what I really want to say about it is this. I mean, the world has known to be functioning in a system where we have gurus and we have shamans. It's been the tradition. The Christian tradition brings in the priest. The priest is a guru and a shaman at the same time. A guru is a person who will give you direction, and that direction is what you will follow. A shaman is a person you ask if you're in the right direction or not, and he'll tell you if you're on your own right direction or not. The priest fulfills both roles, and it's terrible. I personally think it's
good.
Terrible. It's a total confusion of norms.
And
it's
also like control, like they control the information, you know, they control like who goes through the gates
exactly.
And then what capacity.
I mean, who put that person there? What right do they have to tell us something if they have no mental awareness of their own that can be compared with a shaman's or a guru's?
Now, you're speaking of Christianity, right,
not,
in general.
Not just Christianity, but yes, I know of it.
But here's where it really breaks down, and it relates very much to the subject matter of this show, that the standard Christian worldview is that you cannot have a direct experience of God.
Right.
The direct experience of God, that's for the monks and the priests and the very highest ones that have done all the study and recite their prayers and things like that, you know.
They've given that energy a name.
And that's right. That's right. And that's, and, you know,
sorry.
And these, no, but I mean, when we talk, it branches off in a lot of different directions, and it's hard to know which ones
right.
to follow.
I think
but the point I was going to make was is that these psychedelic plants, they give you what many people for thousands of years have considered to be a direct experience of the divine, and it's competition. Right, you're not going to be going and putting your money into the alms bowl of the
right,
of the
right.
Christian church if you're out actually experiencing God yourself.
Right, right. That's just it. I mean, there is a form of energy there. We're all perceiving in different levels, different ways. You know, Christianity views it one way, Judaism views it another, Buddhism another, etc., etc. We just give it a name and we limit ourselves every time. Right. I have nothing else to say about that. Though I think it's a good idea to have something like that in general, though. People do need belief. People
shamans.
Do right. I mean,
shamans in place.
Well, Christianity serves its role, too. I just think it's becoming obsolete over time.
For what? Social control.
Right.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. Well, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming on, John. Finally, right? You can
right.
come on whenever.
I'd like
it's
to
nice
do it again.
To have you. Right. Closing, Pat? Would you like to say anything?
We're all one species that's evolving. That's all I have to say.
We are the universe experiencing itself. That's a Bill Hicks. Straight from Bill Hicks. That was Bill Hicks at the start
I'll
of the show.
I'll reiterate, the FCC sucks.